Gutenberg of Shabbos, that is such a schus Baruch Hashem. I know it's been a minute, as they say. I think it's been a couple of weeks now, Baruch Hashem, since we've had this year lot going on, Baruch Hashem, and it's so wonderful to be back and so special for us to be able to learn the Hilga words of the Piyajetzna, our Rebbe, especially during this time of the year where the heart and the soul yearn for some nechama, right? The heart and the soul yearn for just a pick-me-up, for some Yisodrus, and who better to give us that than our Rebbe the Piyajetz. So we'll say we're actually continuing, so tonight, it's actually very exciting. We're beginning on page 48. We actually finished the first chelik of the Sefer.
What?
It only took us a little bit under a year, right? So Baruch Hashem, we're right on schedule. But we're actually now beginning the second chelik. We'll say, does everyone have a copy? Who needs? There's an extra copy over here, if anyone needs it. So I want to pass that if anyone needs it. And otherwise, I think...
there's a bunch.
Are they all...
Okay.
Okay,
second level from the top all the way on the left, what is that?
Oh, yeah, here.
Sure.
All right, Sibosi, so we're continuing tonight on page 48. And here, what the Piagetan is going to do, we actually began this. And that's just, first of all, I should give a tremendous yeshikach to Reb Tzvi Freeman, who, mamish, just like, doesn't make a difference. Simcha Tzara, right? Avelos, 9 days. Reb Tzvi has, he's got the menu for all occasions. Reb Tzvi, thank you so very much. Tremendous yeshikach. And a thank you to Steve Golaskov. Let me just pull it up over here. Reb Steve, who is in Eretz Yisrael, sponsored the Mashke tonight, and he sponsored the Ilui Nishmas by Shalom Weingat, Rav Shalom Zev ben Rav David Aryeh, who was nifted just this past Monday. Reb Ichi, his son, is sitting Shiva Amir Hashem through Sunday. And Reb Steve is, we thank Reb Steve for his sponsorship, for his dedication. And again, Reb Steve is actually in Eretz Yisrael. His son-in-law is getting smicha. So Baruch Hashem, he's here to celebrate that incredible milestone. Absolutely beautiful. I will say, so with that, let us begin. So tonight we're beginning the second chelik of the sefer, which is going to be a little bit of a combination of old and new. So look what he writes. This is really, I will say, some incredible, incredible pieces. So the Rebbe says as follows. He says, Devarenu Eila, Me'achar Shavartayim Kvar. So the Rebbe says, okay, so now you've learned everything in the first part of the Sefer. And I will say, from the Piagetan's perspective, everything in the beginning part of the Sefer is the Iker, ultimately a B'nai Machshava Tov. All the different pieces. He said, look what he writes. So I'll say, so what's his Eitzah? Taschil Me'ata L'Kara Mechadash. Okay, you finished. So what does the Yid do when he finishes something? What does he do? He starts again. Hey, so the Rebbe says, okay, now you finished the first part of the Sefer. The most important thing you could do is go back and review it. Now, I will say, the truth is, this is not unique to the Piagets, no? And this is the hallmark of every single one of the great Sifrei Musar. One reads the introduction of the Ramchal, Mesilas Yisharon, Rosh Hashem, Nasat, the Ramchal writes, he says, number one, you're not going to find too many Chidushim in my Sefer. Right, the Ramchal says, there's nothing here that I'm writing that you didn't hear before, says the Ramchal. But the power, says Ramchal, Mesilas Yisharon, is in Chazara. Is in constant review, because only once a person reviews are they able to truly inculcate the concept within themselves. The Piagetan says, same idea. Now, the difference is, in Neimach Shalat Tov, I think we learned a number of incredible chidushim. But I will say, it's one of the hardest things, you know, for those of us who are learning the daf. On one hand, there's nothing better in the world than daf yomi. On the other hand, sometimes, there's nothing as frustrating as daf yomi. Right? Why? Because you finish up a week, you've done 7 blat of Gemara, and then someone makes reference to a Gemara you learned 3 days ago. You're like, wow, I can't wait till we get to that in Shas. Right? And meanwhile, it was literally 2 days ago. Again, the challenge of Daf Yomi, the real challenge of it, is retention. And the reason, so why isn't there, it's not because I'm not paying attention. I will say, by the way, I just wanted you to know, to give everybody like a chatzi nechama. So, Baruch Hashem, because I get to give the daf, so I usually end up doing every blot 3 times. I do it twice in the course of preparation, and once the giving over of shir, I'm in the same boat. It's the most frustrating thing in the world. Most frustrating thing in the world. The inability to retain, it's not inability, it's because retention requires chazara. So that's why the Piagetzna says, understand, if you want this sefer to become part of you, okay, now you finished, now you learned the first chelik, okay, so now what's the avodah? Review. Review and review and review. Which in Meretz Hashem, we're going to talk about how we're going to do it. He says, Loka Adam, Shekori Umedabra Machshavos Ra'ayanos, Fachol here Paskos Hanefesh Shalzula. So, I will say, listen to this. So the Piagetzna says, sometimes when we learn something, I will say, you know what the beauty is sometimes between, what's the difference between when a person learns Torah and a person learns literature or science or history? All important things, right? All important things. But wherein lies the fundamental difference between learning Torah and learning every other discipline? What would you say? What's the difference?
Chazara.
So Chazara, true.
One has the ability to change a person.
Great. Excellent. So true. What else?
Torah comes from
HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? Although one could make the argument that, you know, many, many, many bodies of knowledge come from Hashem. True, but Torah is direct transit from Hashem.
What's it?
I'm sorry? Yeah. Right.
You get schar for the actual learning.
Oh, beautiful. Right, beautiful. Also, right, this schar for the actual learning. Beautiful.
Torah is something that is constantly changing, you know.
science.
Say once more, Torah is?
Always finding new things and always changing.
Oh. That's beautiful. There's like his chachos. Beautiful. Beautiful. Still beautiful. Still beautiful. Right. Beautiful. So by the way, all correct. All correct. The Piagetzna really happens to be much more focusing, I think, in what Rabbi Nechemia just said, which is, you see, when I learn something, you know, history, literature, so all important and all meaningful things, it's not mine. It's not mine. In other words, it's knowledge that exists that I'm trying to understand. But lav dafka, it's mine. I will say, by Torah, there's a concept of kinyan, right? Torah is something that becomes yours. Right, when you learn something, it fundamentally becomes part of who and what you are. So the Piagetzna says, sometimes we learn things, and that knowledge remains separate and distinct from me. Right? So take anything you learned, right? Anything you learned. So I have this body of knowledge. I'm not saying that knowledge is part of me, right? That knowledge is not part of me. It's something I know. He says, Torah, the goal is when you learn something, that learning becomes part of who you are. Now, the truth is, by Torah, there's a danger also. A person could learn Torah as a subject, chas v'shalom, right? And they're learning knowledge, very interesting, but it doesn't become part of me. I'm not internalizing what I'm learning. I'm learning it. It's fascinating, entertaining, maybe even inspiring, although according to the Piagetzna, we wouldn't call that inspiration. Right? You know, we call that uplifting. But it doesn't become part of who and what I am. So the Piagetzna says, the danger when we learn something is when you go over this sefer, he says, don't be like ka'adam shekori medar machshav sarenos v'chol shrapos hanefesh shel zula. So don't read it and don't learn this as if like you're learning someone else's ideas. Rak ka'adam shekori es divrei atzmo. This is incredible. You know what the Piagetzna is saying? And this is so profoundly moving. The Piagetzna is explaining. He says, as much as I, the Piagetzna, wrote these words, they're not my words. They're our words. And when you learn this, you're learning your own Torah. You're learning your own words. It's something that is part of who and what you are. He gives an example. This is incredible. Mashal shnei b'nei adam sh'omrim tehillim. He will say, this could be a mashal of two people who say tehillim. I will say, it happens to be in general. Tehillim is one of those things that's like a shtick, a lost art, especially by men, right? The beauty, I will say, I discovered this. I had a particularly difficult challenge that I was going through in life a couple of years ago. And I'm normally a person who like tries to organize and quarterback, and I was so at a loss for like what to do. And it was mamish, one of those moments of hashlech yahavcha al Hashem v'hu yechal kolako. Just put your burden on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I will say, I started saying Tehillim. Just started saying Tehillim. Not to finish it in a month. Take my time. I don't even try to understand what the words mean. I don't even attempt to it. Because I feel trying to understand it makes it into learning. I don't want to learn. I take it back. I want to learn. But when I say Tehillim, I just want to say Tehillim. I just want to talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I don't even know sometimes the words that I'm saying, but I just want to say it. He says, there could be two people who say Tehillim. Listen to this. He says, Le'echad, lo chaser kol tov. One guy, we call him Ruvain. Ruvain lacks for nothing. Ruvain has everything. Vashini, Shimon, tavua b'tzara. Shimon is drowning in troubles. So Ruvain is absolutely fine. Life is going great. Shimon, drowning in troubles. Zek kori rakes hadvarim shediber David HaMelech kilu misaper ma'aseh shehaya. So Ruvain, whose life is great, when he says Tehillim, how is he saying Tehillim? What is he saying? Someone else's words, right? Someone else's words. Mizmor leDavid, right? Someone else's words, right? Again, it's beautiful. These are the words of David HaMelech. If David said it, I can say it also. Are they my words? No, they're not my words. They're David HaMelech's words. V'maduka b'yisurim. But the guy, Shimon, who's suffering, Soek, Tavati bime mitzula saka shel atzmo kilu David hamelech nason lo rak diburim befev lahoti sakasam libo. But the guy who's drowning in troubles, when he says those words, those are his words. Those are his words. True, they are written by David HaMelech. But it's as if David HaMelech put them in my heart. He put them in my mouth. Those are my words. They'll say, what a powerful, powerful example. So there are times in life where you could say someone else's words, or sometimes in life where someone else's words become your words. There are times in life where ultimately, again, you're learning something, but you're learning someone else's Torah. And then times in life when you're learning, and ultimately, it's your Torah. Tfila la'ani kiyatov. Quotes over in Abba say, the literal taich of this pasuk is tfila la'ani, the way an ani davens, kiyatov, he wraps himself. He wraps himself. Abba say, that pasuk, you know, is the makar, is the source for davening with a talis over your head. Right, the concept of tefillah la'ani, how does a person who needs something daven kiyatov? He wraps himself in his talus. Ha'ani, but the Piagetna says it means something different also. Ha'ani mis'atif kulo bitfiloso u bitfiloso bo. This is incredible. Everyone reads tefillah la'ani kiyatov. The kiyatov, we assume the ani is wrapping himself in something external. Says the Piagetna, no. Tefillah la'ani, what does the tefillah of an ani look like? What does the tefillah of a downtrodden person look like? He wraps himself, Rabbi saying, what? He wraps himself in what? In the tefillah. He's wrapped in the tefillah. The tefillah is not something external to me. The tefillah is not someone else's prayer. The tefillah, by definition, is something I wrap myself in. Yes?
So, I'm just trying to understand one thing then. Let's say, like, a person then, you know, is in a very happy and good mood, and then, you know, things are going well. Does that mean that when he reads, let's say, a paragraph of Tehillim that's about suffering and pain, should he, like, try to change his mindset while he's...
No, you should always be happy, but the goal is to recognize that even when you're happy, we fool ourselves that when things are great in life, that we are not in existential need. That's a fallacy. Right, a human being is always in a state of existential need. The fact that things are wonderful now, that's incredible and fantastic. But what I always have to keep in my mind, they're like that now because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wills it that way. But my dependency on the Ribono Shel Olam is no less. So no, it doesn't mean, and the Piaget's not saying make yourself sad if you're happy. What he's trying to highlight over here is when you daven, when you learn, make those experiences your own. That could happen in a totally happy state of mind as well. It's a mindset. Is it someone else's Torah? Or is it my Torah? Is it someone else's words in tefillah? Is it my words in tefillah? That's the goal. Whether everything's going great or everything's difficult, it happens to be, it's much easier to experience this when you're in a bad spot in life. Because generally when I'm in a bad spot, I recognize my reliance on HaKadosh Baruch Hu much more than when things are great. But I don't think it doesn't... But again, Piagetna is upbeat, right? Always upbeat and always... Again, I believe he subscribed to Rabbi Nachman's Mitzvah Gidol Yos B'Simcha Tamid as well.
Yeah, but even Rabbi Nachman said it's okay to be sad for an hour a day. You know,
Simcha doesn't have to mean happiness either. So, all right, good. When we get to Rabbi Nachman, the Mirza Hashem, he goes, now let's say, so listen to this. He says, okay, she'echad korev v'shona l'mashal anis kaleal. So we'll say, for example, so now he plugs it in over here. Person learns the earlier part of the Sefer. Because we'll say, so now remember, again, we finished the first part of the Sefer. So a person goes back, as the Rebbe says, and begins everything again. He says, Ich yidag ha'ish al atzmo, sheyamav orim bedalos v'shiflos hanefesh. So we'll say, if you remember again, the Rebbe spoke in very, very, very honest terms, and like very, very like eye-opening terms about how a person has to confront the fact that more often than not in life, we're underperforming, right? And I want to point out, when the Rebbe says that, his goal is not to say that we should beat ourselves up, right? His goal is that if we're not honest with who we are and what we are and where we're holding in life, there's no chance to improve. So he said, we learned this idea. So you know what happens when you read lines like this, right? So I read in the Piagetna that a person's going through life, and he's mamish underperforming and not actualizing his potential. I will say, how do we often read a line like that? How do we read it? Like, you know what? I know exactly who the Piagetna is talking about, right? I know that guy. I know that guy, right? In fact, you know what? Now I've been meaning to tell him how much he's underperforming all of this time. Now I feel like there's a simon from Shamayim. The Piagetna is telling me I have to go over to my friend, to my wife, to my kid. You need to see this, right? You need to see this. So often, and what's it, by the way, that might be true. Maybe my spouse does need to see it. Maybe my child does need to see it. Maybe my friend does need to see it. But he says, Raku margish ata, So again, no. Don't read this as if the words are talking to someone else. No, when I read those words about say that I'm under that a person spends most of their life in a state of underperformance, the truth is, how should I read that? Yeah, that's me. That's me. Not because I want to, not because I intend to, not because I set out to, but often just because I end up choosing the path of least resistance over the course of life. I'm not reading about someone else, I'm reading about me. So we'll say, and often there are things that we suppress. There are things that we suppress. Let's say, you know, the greatest epiphanies we experience in life is not because, like, I learned a new truth. I would venture to say, all of us know all the truths there are to know. There's no more new truths. I don't mean like in society is always developing new truths. I'm leaving that aside. I mean like in the Welt, in actuality, there are no new truths. There are no new truths. All the truths are known. We know it all. So we'll say, when do those epiphanical moments, I don't know if that's a word, right? But it sounds so good, right? Epiphanical, right? Sounds like a branch of Christianity. I'm an epiphanical. Yeah, the Latter-day Epiphanicals. Yeah, okay. I'll say, so in any end, so I'll say, so what, but I like it, right? When does one have one of those epiphanical moments? So I'll say, when, it's not like, oh, I discovered something new. It's often because in that moment, I just stopped suppressing all of the stuff I just spend so much time pretending doesn't exist. And then I have like this moment of like, wow, incredible. I was saying, I'm reading this book. It's called Sparks. It's by these two guys who specialize in consulting for startup businesses. So they give 24 tips how to be more successful and supercharged in your work life. No, just how can you be more effective? So one of the things they speak about is power. Power. Reminding yourself you have power. Okay? So what's I say? You expect, okay, I started this chapter, like power. Okay, I'm going to figure out like how I have power. You know, the whole, it's like 1.5 pages. It's like, essentially, you are in charge of you. You are in charge of you. You waste too much time? You are in charge of you. You don't like the way you act? You are in charge of you. You don't like the way you interact with other people? You are in charge of you. That's the whole chapter. And like I had this moment, right? This light bulb went off. I have power. So I'm sitting next to my wife. We're actually on a flight. I said, you have to read this, right? She's like, yeah. What? I'm like, I have power. As far as I got to look, like, all right? So she was like, what's the matter with you? Like, this is like ABCs of just normal living. So it was fascinating to me because I realized probably deep down, if I wanted to analyze a little bit, I had probably been making excuses for myself that I don't have control over certain things. That's why they are the way they are. And in this moment, I'm reading again in 14 different ways in 1.5 pages how I have power. I have power. So again, I had that epiphanical moment. Let's say, there was nothing new. It's not like Panim Chadoshos Baal Khan. I mean, it's Pashit, right? It's self-awareness 101. Like, I have power. I have power. So let's say, so the Piagetsna thing over here is he's saying, so when I read this idea that ultimately, again, I'm underperforming. So in life, so it's so easy and so tempting to say, I'm reading about someone else. I'm reading about me. I'm reading about me. He says, ultimately, again, and what happens if I allow myself to experience that as my Torah, not someone else's Torah, then suddenly, again, I have that epiphany. Suddenly, again, I stop suppressing the truths of life and I'm brave enough to encounter the actual reality. Remember again, the PhD spoke about this, where he spoke about the fact that sometimes if a person wants to self-inspire, one of the ways to do that is to remember death. Remember that you die. Remember you die. I will say, I think many of us, you know how we read that phrase? We read it, how do we read it? One day, people die. All people die. Pierre says, that's not how to read the phrase. How do you read the phrase? One day, I will die. One day, it's uncomfortable to say it. One day, I will die. That's the message. It's not one day. At some point, everyone dies. So what's the difference between one day I will die and at some point everyone dies? At some point, everyone dies is about everyone but me. But me. So it's great. You know, it's true. Guys, you better take that to heart. One day, all of you, right? One day, everyone dies. I'm going to be fine, right? But one day, everyone dies. Piaget says, no. It's one day I will die. One day I will no longer be on this earth, which means that my life is a finite, non-renewable resource. So what am I doing? The Piagetza says, make the Torah your Torah. Eich ploni tzir liatzmo, v'yata margish rak barachmonas al chavercha, rak ata ba'atzmecha, mitzayir l'chokein. V'chim b'chol inyane his orerus, his lavus, v'his chaskus hamachshava. And then also the Piagetza says again, in general, so often when we learn, we hear concepts that we love, and we think about how they apply to everyone else, right? And how I'm gonna say over this one to this, and this one to this one, and this one should really learn this. And again, it's applicable, and it's wonderful, and it's important for everyone, except the person, me, who's actually reading it. Says the Piagetzna, when you read Torah, don't worry about other people. I mean, always worry about other people, but ultimately, again, make that Torah yours. Lachin, therefore, because of this, I think also the Piagetzna is suggesting is as follows. What he's also telling us, we'll say, and this is the beauty of the Piagetzna, and in general, the beauty of Chassidus, is an embracing of human nature. Right? We'll say, Chassidus, the beauty of Chassidus tells you, accept who you are and how you are, and then do your best to refine it. So the Piagetzna says, it's natural when we learn things to subconsciously, or maybe consciously, not want to apply it to ourselves. So what I do is, I learn at a distance. So I learn, and I hear all of this incredible information, and it's true, incredible, wonderful, beautiful, great, and it applies to everyone, but I don't internalize it. So the Piagetzna says, maybe that's the power of learning something twice. Maybe that's the power of Chazara. Maybe what the Piagetzna is teaching us is the first time you learn something, human nature is you ingest it intellectually. But the challenge with intellectual ingestion is it could remain separate and distinct from you. But the second time then that you chazer it, that's how you're kone it. Suddenly again now, this is not a piece of information separate and distinct from me, but it becomes part of who and what I am. He says, therefore, Lachin, the boss is incredible. Lachin, e'afshe l'cha likra harbe b'kuntras hazeba p'amachas. This line vindicated me. Piagetzna says, therefore, you should not learn a lot of this sefer at once. We were Makayan this, right? If we did nothing else, if we have internalized nothing else in this sefer, right? This we have done. Then we'll say, but this is also so profound. We'll say, why? Ki afshal l'chal lehisragish b'shivlos, simcha, shviras halev, v'aliyah b'mayachs. And Rabbi Saul, this goes to your point. The Piagetzna says, in this sefer, right? He says, what am I teaching you how to experience? I'm teaching you how to experience lowliness, happiness, heartbreak, and ascension. Right? We'll say, so much of what the Piagetzna has taught us is how to maximize every single emotional state. Well, no one feels, we'll say, this is actually a very important yisod, that in general there's a concept, although we play this a little bit both ways, but we have this concept in Yiddishkeit that one heart cannot be in two emotional states simultaneously. Rabbi Soloveitchik, Zechat Tzadik Livracha, explains that this is the reason why Yom Tov cancels out Shiva. Yom Tov cancels Shiva, right? Why? Because on Yom Tov there's a mitzvah v'samachta b'chagecha. On Yom Tov there's a biblical obligation to rejoice, and of course, Avelo Shiva is mourning. So Rabbi Soloveitchik says one heart cannot simultaneously rejoice and ultimately experience Avelos. You have to be in one state or the other. So since there's a biblical mandate of simcha, that ultimately trumps that trumps the tzara, that trumps the tzar, ultimately of Shiva. Rabbah says the same idea as we come up to Tisha B'Av, right? We see this dialectic in Tisha B'Av also. There's pre-Chatzos Tisha B'Av, post-Chatzos Tisha B'Av. Again, pre-Chatzos Tisha B'Av is an intense mourning. Post-Chatzos Tisha B'Av is lessened mourning with already a tinge, a little bit of simcha. There is a little bit of a release, a little bit of a light at the end of the tunnel over there. So what the Piagetian says is you can't learn all of this at once. You can't learn all of this at once because I'm teaching you how to maximize different emotional states. And because no one could be in multiple emotional states at one time, therefore, again, best to learn this, say, for a little bit at a time. Look what he writes. He says, "Vimkori ata bepam achos, shuv rak maise tikra." Piagetian says, by the way, if you sit down and you do try to learn this safer at once, you know what's going to happen? It's going to be like reading a book. It's going to have no impact on you. In other words, again, you might ingest information, but ultimately, again, it will not have an impact on who and what you are. So he says, "Limud esakuntros ma'at ma'at, lamed esakuntros ma'at, learn this safer a little bit at a time. Lo b'machshava levad, gam b'ficha." Isn't this incredible? Piagetian says, by the way, and don't just scan it with your eyes. Say the words. Say the words. Because it's all part of the same theme, right? Why? Why do you have to say the words? Because when you say the words, they become yours. You scan the words, they remain on the page. You say the words, ultimately, again, you're using your koach hadibor, and ultimately, again, they become yours. We're going to see this. The PHS is going to speak about by davening, by tefillah, the same exact dynamic as well. Piagetian says, review this sefer once a month. Now, we'll say, by the way, if you think about it, it's not such a tall order. We'll say, think about this just a moment, right? So if you're spending a little bit of time each day, so how long did it take us to do this first part of the sefer, right? About 30 weeks, right? All in all. And again, that's with a lot of hesber and eating and other stuff, right? You know, I was going to say. So again, lemaisa, it's not a crazy thing. We're gonna say our whole goal is not to have a shir, right? Our goal ultimately is to learn the sefer and then emir tz Hashem, over time break into smaller groups of bnei machshava tova, of groups who are focused on different forms of aliyah. This is just our guidebook in how to do it. So we'll say, now I see my goal ultimately is to chazer this once a month. So we'll say base, page 49. Look what he writes. Heavy Zohar, be careful. Shekol shenir shabu kuntras hazeh. So be careful, right, with everything that I've written. Piagetian says, I've chosen my words very carefully in this. And the concepts and the ideas that I'm espousing here, I've called them in a specific way. Fa'adavar shekarasa, ta'avod b'chol hayom. Oshnaim oshloshi yamin. Both say, this isn't kind of what Peter Zesta says, is you have to give yourself homework. Whatever you learn, you have to implement. Both say, it's all part of the same theme. Right, because it happens to us all the time. We learn great stuff, and then what happens? Right? Shear's over. I go home, and what's changed in my life? What's changed? Nothing. Right? Everything is kind of, why? Because I haven't created a mechanism of implementation, right? I've learned it, but at the end of the day, I have not made it part of me. Vadavar shekara sa tavod b'chol yom u'shnayim u'shlosh yomim likbo b'nafshecha shekein tia kulach. And we will say, spend a couple of days, right? Make a plan. I'm going to work on this particular thing that the Piagetian taught me, and I'm going to work on it, you know, for a couple of days. This is going to be my avodah for Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And this is going to be Thursday, Friday, and Shabbos. Make a plan. What happens if I'm working on something, but it doesn't, as they say, right? It's not going. I haven't inculcated it within myself. Al yipo lipcha. Don't get depressed. Kilo alecha hamalacha ligmar bepamachas. So we'll say this is the best line. Kilo alecha hamalacha ligmar bepamachas. Whoever told you, you have to get it right the first time. Whoever said the first time at bat, you have to hit a home run. Whoever said such a thing like this. Right? So we'll say, remember again, what's interesting is the Piagetian builds on the statement of Pirkei Avos. Pirkei Avos says, lo alecha hamalacha ligmar. Right, that's what Piagetian says, right? It's not incumbent upon you to finish the job. The Piagetian's version is, lo alecha hamalacha ligmar bepam achas. Right? You don't have to finish the job the first time. It's like, how validating is that? How validating is that? How many times in life do we start things and we fail the first time around? And we say, oh, failure. That's it. I'm a failure. And if it was supposed to work, it would have worked the first time. And if it doesn't work the first time, oh, so you know, it's great. It's always so wonderful how we like intuit simanim from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Like, you know, we're Nevi'im, right? We're Nevi'im now. It must be the Ratzon Hashem, because if God really wanted me to do this, then ultimately, again, it would have worked out. It would have worked out. And if it's not working out, yeah, we'll say sometimes, lo alecha melacha ligmar, but lo alecha melacha ligmar bepam achos. Ultimately, again, sometimes, even when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants something to happen, and you want something to happen, doesn't necessarily work the first time out of the gate. Let's do one more piece, then we'll stop for tonight. Gimel. These are great also because they're self-contained ideas. Kishiyazra Hashem lecha v'yale lecha zmanim kidoshim shal esrakshus af hislavus v'shtapchus hanefesh v'yiflutu gam diburchem mimcha migodo hisrakshus. Let's say, so listen to this. He says, when a person has a moment of aliyah, and times of kedusha, times of inspiration, or ishtapchus. Ishtapchus also means sometimes like even downtrodden times. You know, there could be other times where sometimes inspiration could come from the lowest of places. And what happens? There are certain words that sometimes come to you. Right, certain sayings that sometimes come to you, you know, in a moment of inspiration or a moment of defeat. He says, those are holy words. Words that come to you kind of like in these moments of life where you're either very inspired or very defeated. He says something, Kigon shu nirsham biyidish beseder emtsai v'yisoda chavra osu, dar v'osu. He gave examples of this. O diburim achirim kigon elu yiflutu mimcha, tarich v'takir v'tokir osam. Ultimately, go ahead and understand those words are precious. If they come out of your mouth, if they come to you at a time of desperation or a time of elevation, make sure you appreciate those words for what they are. He says, let me frame this in a simpler way. Let's say you ever come across, like maybe you're davening, and it's one of those days where maybe like I'm paying attention to what I'm saying, right? So you have a couple of extra minutes. No, because most times like we're always in a rush somewhere. So you have a few moments. Like you see a phrase that like captures your neshama. And by the way, maybe you've seen that phrase a million times before in life. But at the end of the day, there's something about it that just captures you. And it's those words that ultimately lead you to a sense of aliyah, to an incredible sense of spiritual elevation. Incredible. Let's say, the Piagetsna says, any words associated with inspiration or elevation, those words have a power. And what do you do with those words? He says, ubechol pam shetirtza la'oras atzmacha mitar demascha, so I'll say, anytime you want to be inspired, ultimately, again, utilize those very words. Utilize those words to self-inspire. I'll say, I'll tell you something amazing. I saw this brought down. Incredible sefer. It's a skula. I forget who the Mechaber quoted. If he quoted the Arizal, or he quoted Chaim Vital. The author was talking about Shmira Sayinayim. Right, we still had the concept of just like watching one's eyes and watching was so. I don't remember who he quoted, but he spoke about this idea that if a person struggles with guarding their eyes from looking at inappropriate things, he says a person should say three times, "Eini rotza, eini rotza, eini rotza." I don't want this. I don't want this. I don't want this. And if you say that three times in the midst of struggle, ultimately, again, you'll be saved from that nisayon. Any rotza. And I'll tell you, since I saw this, I've come to realize it's not just for Shmira Sayinayim, but the truth is, one could probably plug that in into any situation where I'm faced with the opportunity to do something I should not do. Now, maybe I really want to do it. But Lamaisa, maybe my body wants to do it. I don't want to do it. I never want to commit an avera. I never want to go ahead and derail my journey. I don't want that. So I'll tell you, I was so struck by this. Something like, you know, you expect sometimes in life like these big Eini rotza, Eini rotza, Eini rotza. I don't want it. I don't want it. But I do want it. But I do want it. No, I don't want it. I don't want it. I don't want it. That's it. That's it. Again, I don't know. Does it work all the time for every single thing? But I think it's a good example of what the Piagetzna is saying. That sometimes, I will say again, maybe it's a line in Tehillim. Maybe it's a line, maybe, you know, what's that? I'll tell you like that. It's the line in Hallel. So again, I never paid attention to that line really until like the Eitan Katznigan, and I've said it many times, right? Kadosh Baruch Hu, how many times do you save me? How many times do you save me? How many times in life have you extricated me from difficult situations? Some of which I've known, some of which I will never, ever know. And I will say there are certain things that we say in life that the words themselves just inspire. Essentially, what the Piagetzna is saying is, find your mantra. So if it's Chichilatzta Nafshi Mimaves, Es Eni Mindimas Fagli Midachi, if that's yours, if it's Eni Rotza, Eni Rotza, Eni Rotza, whatever it is, find your mantra. Find your words. Find that line that when you say it, propels you to a different place. It doesn't mean it solves all of your problems. Yes?
Didn't we say, I think we said maybe sometime in the last 52 weeks, that if a person's responsible, like, I'm going to do a chat, I'm going to do this Avera. They just say, okay, you know what? In 1 minute.
Right, in 1 minute, yeah.
In 1 minute. That's the same thing.
Don't cut.
It's all the same idea. Because ultimately, again, I mean, if you really want to get into it, especially when it comes to chait is often wrapped up in impulsivity. So how do you combat impulsivity, right? By delay. But it's the same thing. What's Eni Rotza? It's just delaying it. It's just delaying it by 10 seconds. That's 100%. 100%. So again, it's either the action or it's the statement. Yes, ma'am. Where is that? Where is that? In the second paragraph? Lolanu. Second paragraph of Halach. Right at the end. Right after this Halach. It's, I'll send out the link. Oh, it's 9 days. Okay, after. Yeah, Shuvi Nafshi. Okay, well, say good. So let's finish up. He goes in and he says over here, he says, and anytime you want to awaken yourself from your life slumber, ultimately, speak these words. Let's say, isn't this a great... Just find your mantra. Ultimately, again, and when you find yourself either in a state of distress, like I want to save myself from sin, or maybe I'm not in distress, I'm just totally uninspired. It's like a flat line of spirituality, and I want to jumpstart myself. Find your line. Ki diburim elu nitzutze naf shechahem. Listen to what the Piagetzna says. Any words that at some point in time inspired you in life, those words are sparks of your neshama. Something about those words is connected to your neshama. And what that means is even when your neshama feels dormant, and even when you look like a shtekel flatlined, those words can be the spiritual jumbo cables, right? Those words could be the defibrillators, right? Those words could be what awakens you. Mimeno nechtzivu ubesuros elo nizriku. Ultimately, I will say, so literally again, those words were hollowed out from your soul. Those words come from your neshama. If they inspired you once, that means that somehow, some way, there is some level of connection between those words and your neshama. So when you need either to avoid chait or you need to jumpstart your spirituality, find that mantra, find those words and awaken yourself. I will say, we'll stop over here for tonight. Shkoyach, everyone. So no shia. Next week is Tisha B'Av. Next week is Tisha B'Av, so we're not going to have Shir next week. So hopefully we'll have Shir Meretz Hashem the. But yeah, I don't think I have that Thursday. Yeah, I think I'll be here. You know what I'm saying? Shkoyach. Myra.